All right, we're going to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, good morning. Thursday night, the dress rehearsal. How excited are you?
I'm actually really excited because I think it's a good opportunity for Dolphin fans to get a good look at what Ryan Fitzpatrick actually looks like in real games and real practices at, for extended periods. I don't think they've really had a good sampling of why he's the clear-cut starting quarterback, and it's not really a competition. They just, you know, see hope in New Bay, and they want to make love to New Bay, but I don't think that's the right approach for this team.
You know what's really weird, Omar, with this group is obviously a lot of young guys getting a lot of extra playing time because we got some veterans that are still injured. How bad are the injury bugs, especially for the two leading tacklers on the defense a year ago? What's going on there? Either guy in trouble and not making the team?
I think either guy is on the trading block and will possibly be moved. I actually wrote about that. This is something that I learned and discovered yesterday. It's not really play-related that these guys got outperformed during OTAs. Jerome Baker, from day one, he was handed the play-calling duties. He was always the every-down inside linebacker for this scheme. And now that I understand the scheme a little bit more, I get it. I see. And Jerome is a very impactful player. When you watch, I mean, he's their best blitzer. Probably
yeah, he's super quick. Sack. Yeah, he can run. Yep.
Yeah. Great timing. And he didn't even expect it. He didn't know what to do with it. You know, they handed the keys to this defense to him, taking it away from Kiko Alonso, not giving it to Raekwon, you know, I know Dolphin fans don't get this because he's a second-round pick, but Raekwon doesn't fit this defense at all. When you're playing in a nickel-based defense, and that's their defense, is a nickel-based. They do not play any more than two linebackers at a time. And both of the linebackers have to be coverage guys. Raekwon is not a coverage guy. Raekwon is not good in coverage. So exactly how does he fit? I would be surprised if he's not moved before they start the regular season.
Well, what about like the injury, like Kiko's injury, Raekwon's injury? How much is this kind of affecting everything when it comes to giving guys opportunities at the linebacker spot anyway?
I didn't hear exactly what you said, Zach, because my phone broke up.
Just saying like the injuries to Kiko, the injury to Raekwon, guys getting opportunities now and obviously taking full advantage of them. How much is that hurting Raekwon also by just not being out there?
I don't think, you know, it's really not a situation where, yeah, Raekwon's hurt and he's not really getting an opportunity to compete, but he had lost the starting job during OTAs, not even, you know, if not before OTAs. They looked at the film and basically were like, this guy doesn't really fit what we want. Would it be great if he was out there and could compete? Because, you know, the number one thing he said to me when I talked to him was that, you know, I'm working to show that I am a good coverage guy. And I was just like, oh, okay. He acknowledged that he's not a good coverage guy. Do they need depth? Absolutely. But they don't need three linebackers. I can honestly tell you, I've not watched them for, you know, God, 30, 40 practices, and I've never seen a scheme ever where three linebackers are on the field at the same time. And Sam Egwavon, I don't even know if I'm saying his name correctly. He's now raised doubt in my mind. His experience in the CFL as a coverage guy has allowed him to just thrive and do well in this defense. And they don't care where you were drafted. If you don't fit, you don't fit, and they're just moving on.
Hey, I want to ask you about starting five on that offensive line. You think it's set? Have we seen enough? I guess Calhoun's the big one at right guard. Have we seen enough that he's going to be the guy, or is this going to be a big night for him tomorrow night to show that he can do it, or we're going to have to make some adjustments real quickly?
I don't know what to – yeah, he is the weakest link, but they like him. I just talked to Daniel Kilgore yesterday, and Daniel basically said the reason why he's up there is because, one, he's an asset in the run game, and two, he's one of those young players where if you teach him something, he gets it. He learns quickly. And so they're all in on this unit. They're all in on Jesse Davis being the right tackle now.
Okay.
Things could change based on who is on the waiver wire or who you could possibly trade for. I think it's a real realistic scenario where you could trade Raekwon McMillan for a starting guard. And you'd just be fine, and help yourself in both regards. But, you know, who's to say what's going to happen? What people have to understand is teams in this period, they're talking about, you know, they're talking amongst each other about, hey, you got an extra linebacker and we need a guard. You know, let's see if we could work something out. So this is the period, the next 2 weeks, to get something done before the 53-man roster is put together. And then you've also got waivers off the waiver wire. I'm sure the Dolphins will be pretty active on the waiver wire. I'm sure there's some veterans that are out there that can help them stopgap it. But I think this team is firmly committed to going young and developing.
All right, let's talk about the other hot topic nationally yesterday. The Miami Dolphins apparently go with 9 straight Jay-Z songs yesterday.
Eight.
By the way, did they do 99? Did they have that song? Was that
99
one?
99 Problems. Yes.
Okay.
That was the last song. That was the last.
All right. So Brian Flores, and everybody's got conspiracy theories. Brian Flores is out to try to get under Kenny Stills. How'd you read into that whole thing?
I definitely thought it was a troll job. We learned it was directly from Brian Flores. We knew that, and it was confirmed. What the purpose was. The intent was, you know, Brian Flores is from my generation of hip-hop, which is basically a very Jay-Z-heavy generation of hip-hop.
Right.
So this could be a show of respect. But then a lot of people are very uncomfortable with the fact that it's basically would be him undermining Kenny Stills and Kenny Stills' movement. Now, I'm very bothered and uncomfortable with this whole conversation from this standpoint. Everybody continues to pit Jay-Z versus the Kneelers. And to me, this is becoming a Malcolm X, Martin Luther King kind of situation where, you know, you can't support both activists. You have to pick a side. And this is total crab in the bucket mentality in my standpoint, in my opinion, which continues to plague the black community. Why do we have to choose one? Why both of them are fighting for social justice and the end of you know, racial inequality. Why do we have to support one and not the other?
I don't want to cut you off, but didn't Jay-Z do this to himself by putting himself in that position by saying what he said about we're done with kneeling and now we need to go on to something? Like, didn't he do that in spite of what Kenny's doing and Eric Reed's doing and all these guys?
He brought the point up, you know, what's next? You know, kneeling is a starting point, but what's next? This movement was about addressing social justice and creating racial equality. Now, what is the next step? That's what he said. You know, and I agree. Kneeling is the first step. Like, okay, let me pose this question to you. There are 3 kneelers in the NFL right now, outside of the black ball Colin Kaepernick, who got a payout from the NFL for being blackballed. There are 3 kneelers inside the NFL right now. Eric Reed, an initial kneeler. Kenny Still, an initial kneeler.
And
Albert Wilson,
yep,
who's kneeling to support Kenny Still.
Right.
So what happens then when these other 2 players get forced out? Is there going to be a new generation of kneelers?
Yeah.
Why has nobody else joined the kneeling?
Yeah. That's a good point. I get you.
Hey, let me ask you the other part of this, which I didn't know, and I know Kenny pretty well, but I haven't talked to him. Kenny Stills bothered by anything yesterday? I didn't think he would be. What do you think?
I think that he is. I watched the Dolphins have an animated conversation with him from the minute I walked inside the locker room.
Okay.
That continued throughout the locker room period. And Kenny was playing Nas, and Zach knows,
right.
Zach knows, what's the correlation between Nas and Jay-Z? They're arch rivals.
Right, exactly.
And you know, again, in the African-American culture, you had to pick one. You had to pick Jay-Z or you had to pick Nas. So, you know, Kenny was making his statement as well. Now, could he according to the Dolphins, Kenny knew the music was coming. And here's the one thing that I do want Dolphin fans to get. I do not know much about Brian Flores. I am in a learn Brian Flores kind of mode, picking, because you don't get to know people just year one of your relationship with them. But what I do have discovered about him is he's passive aggressive. He's done it to the media. He's done it with his players. This is a sign. This is a passive aggressive kind of thing that he's done to Kenny. And I don't have a problem with it. I mean, hell, Bill Parcells spent his whole career being passive aggressive and sort of prodding his players for one reason or another. And truthfully speaking, if Kenny feels as bothered by this, like, and this is a guy who gets death threats on a weekly basis, well, he ain't got the right mindset for the journey that he's on. So I don't sit here and think that, oh, this is such a big deal. Okay, I respect Jay-Z. Jay-Z is probably the biggest pioneer of my generation for my culture, which is the African-American / hip-hop culture. Like, the things that he's done for social activism in this community and world, and the amount of people that he's bailed out of jail for no reason, so that they can fight their charges and cases, you know, that far exceeds anything that I know anybody has done. You know, the amount of things that he's done, if you just do some research on what Jay-Z has done behind the scenes, not for attention or not for the praise associated with it. So for me to sit here and say, oh, Kenny Stills's work in activism far exceeds what Jay-Z has done, and now I have to side with Kenny Stills or pick him over Jay-Z. Like, nah, I'm not going there. Like, I'm not comfortable going there. And unfortunately, this has now entered a conversation that a lot of people are not educated enough to even comment on.
I've heard some comments, a lot more people saying, let's wait and see how this works out and what Jay-Z has in mind and stuff, so we'll see. I got to ask you another one.
Kenny said it himself.
Yeah, no, and there's been a lot more guys I've heard recently, which I was glad to hear too. Let's talk about another hot one. You jumped right in the middle of things last week with Minka Fitzpatrick's mom after you come out. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Minka's not playing well, and you got a little Mrs. Fitzpatrick jumped on you there. Well, what happened there?
Nothing happened on my end. I'm not going back and forth with anybody's mother. I have respect mothers too much, and I'm not like here's what people have to understand. As you know, Joe, I just talk my truths, what I see. Minka was playing strong. Yes, he was playing strong safety, which is not exactly his greatest position. But according to this Dolphins coach, Minka's going to play like 8 positions this year. So he's going to, at some point, have to play strong safety. And he was going against probably the best two tight ends in the NFL. Like, Minka, people got to understand, Minka's job this year is to cover tight ends and cover slot receivers. That's what he's going to do primarily 70% of the time. And he was getting tore up by Brayton and Howard. Is it my fault that I'm reporting that he's getting tore up by Brayton Howard? Well, I don't think it was.
I guess the big thing is, like, Minka's been a good player. You got to give him the benefit of the doubt as he goes through. He's had to learn more, Omar, than any other player in the history of the National Football League, what he's being asked to do. And
I have to give it some thought, but I can't argue that. Yeah, I mean, he is a very important piece of this. And understand, like, and I always say this, if I don't talk about cornerbacks, or if I don't talk or tweet or mention cornerbacks, or linemen, like, they're doing their job because they shouldn't be noticed. And I didn't say anything about Minka for 3 weeks up until that Tampa practice, the Tampa week of practice. So I'm not sitting here saying that, oh yeah, and he did have a bad exhibition game in the first exhibition game, but it's a transition for Minka. I'm not expecting him to be perfect. They're testing his limits.
Right.
They're seeing what he can and what he can't do. Okay, he can't cover, Howard 1-on-1. Okay, so now you know when you play Tampa Bay, which I don't think you do, that you need to give him a little bit of help.
Well, he did bat a ball away on a crossing route, OJ. ran. He did bat one away on the second one. But anyway, hey, listen, man, we appreciate you coming on. We can go back and forth. It's been it's never dull with you, Omar.
No.
We jump right into it, man.
By the way, Omar, Jay-Z or Nas, if you had to pick one CD to play in your car right now, no political aside.
What'd you say?
Jay-Z or Nas right now, all politics aside, whose CD's in your car?
I'm totally Jay-Z guy. I have to go back and forth with people on Twitter all the time because I'm not a Nas fan.
Mm. Okay.
Just had to get that out.
I respect his work, but not a fan.
Okay.
I like it. Well done. Thank you, Omar. We appreciate your time.
I guess.
All right. That was Omar Kelly joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Omar's always in the middle of something.